The Hideous Creature Show.
Hey, Blake, get out of there.
Fletcher, get out of there.
Billy, get out of there. Rolls. Rolls.
Get out of there.
Jesse, get out of there.
Nikki, get out of there.
Mulder, well, just get out of there.
Get out of there,
Beth. Ridgeway,
get out of there.
Get the hell out of there.
He wants to get the hell out of there.
Mark McHale, get the hell out of there.
Oh, God, it's moving right towards you. Move,
get out of there.
Get out of there. Get out.
It's him, Hank. You gotta get out of there.
Shot him, he's dead.
Jesus, Harry, wipe the place clean and get out of there.
Just get the hell out of there.
Listen to me, you have a lot of company. Get out of there.
Come on, guys, get out of there.
Get out of there. Get out, you. Get out of there.
To you from the City of Roses, Portland, Oregon, inside 2282, aka the Brooklyn Zoo, via the internet. The date is September 8th, 2012. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Pat.
And my name is June.
And this is episode 153 of the Hideous Creature Show. Thank you for coming along and playing fake radio with us on the internet. How are you, June? I know it's hard for you to talk right now.
I'm doing good. You did a good job.
I fucked up that one part, but you called me, and then we just rolled with it. It was good.
I love it when you or Jenny does the intro. I'm trying not to project my voice because, I got laryngitis.
Yes, June has had laryngitis all week, and it was funny for about 20 minutes on Tuesday.
Why was it funny?
Because it was like, oh, it's cute. He lost his voice. Yeah, it's really, oh, you're really cute. Oh, do you need something? Do you want some hot tea? Do you want some honey in it? And it was really cute. But the thing is when you came into work on Monday, you had a little bit of a voice. And then in about 45 minutes, it completely was gone. And he just sounded like this every time he talked. And I was just like, oh, God, someone brought Tardo.
I had to whisper all week. So whenever I talked, I'd be like, hey. You know, whisper everything. And it was weird because I deliberately tried not to talk just because it doesn't hurt. It just kind of, it feels irritated.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't talk. And I didn't hear my own voice for so long, like a couple days. And usually I talk to myself or, you know, talk to other people. And it was weird going an extended period of time without hearing my own voice.
Right.
And when I talk, it sounded weird.
Yeah.
You know how when you hear yourself in a recording, it sounds weird?
It sounds weird, but you sounded really weird. You sounded sexy for about 5 minutes, and it went downhill all week long. And then I started going, so I'd have to ask a question, June, like, where did you put this item? Because I'm working with you, but I'd have to be like, did you put the item here? Did you put the item here? Did you have to put the item here? And then June would, he'd like shake his head and go, ah, yeah, yeah, nah, ah, yeah. And I'd be like, did you put it, go with me. Did you put it here? Ah, ah, ah. And Wednesday, or was it Thursday? The second day you were working, it was even worse. Like you couldn't, it wasn't even, ah, it was.
Yeah, I couldn't,
it was
I couldn't
horrible.
Talk at all.
I almost punched someone in the face for you. At work, there was this woman that came in, and she came up, and June doesn't work upstairs with us. He doesn't really deal with the public, but he was up there getting something that he needed for downstairs. And, of course, this woman, and she had come in earlier during the day, and I had talked to her and found out that she was from New Hampshire. And I said,
how did you figure out, like, super sleuthing?
Yeah, I super sleuthed. I looked at her and goes, it's in your eyes. You walk with a waddle like you have 8 dicks up there.
You can smell your own as well.
I can smell
saying.
My own. No, she was wearing a sweatshirt that said Manchester Acupuncture, and it had, like, the phone number, and it was a New Hampshire area code. So I said, excuse me, are you from New Hampshire? And she looked really kind of madly, like, yes, how do you know that?
Like, was she a new hire or
no?
She
was there for a class. She was there probably for a CPR class because she was probably a massage therapist and from New Hampshire. I got these people down pretty well. I'm good at this stuff. I'm good at super sleuthing. So she goes, yes, how do you know I'm from New Hampshire? Like, really angry, like, you fucking stalker. And I'm like, because you're wearing a sweatshirt that says Manchester and it has a New Hampshire area code on your thing. She's like, oh, yes, I am. Are you from New Hampshire? I said, yes, I am. And we talked for a while. But when she came in the second time, June was really the only person up front. Someone was on lunch. Someone was downstairs grabbing something. I was across the room, and I just noticed that she was, like, kind, like, in my opinion, and maybe this is wrong, but she was, like, kind of barking at you, like, what kind, she's just like, what kind of soup do you have? And June's like,
I remember. Okay, I remember. And then I had to whisper. So,
and it's loud in there.
She didn't get close. She just kind of stood there like an idiot.
Toting her stupid, like, because she has to bring a suitcase with her. You know, she had a little portable suitcase.
Did she have her massage table or something?
Why would you have to take that to a CPR class? Because she was going to a CPR class.
What if there was an emergency massage that needed to happen? She just busts it out really quick and goes
for the New Hampshire technique
for a deep tissue massage. Yeah.
So she was just like, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. I'm just trying to ask what the soup is today, or like what the base of the soup is. And I said, because I'm across the room, I said, excuse me, I'll be right with you, because I noticed that you can't talk and you're trying. You're like, that's how you fucking sounded. And you were trying to project to, like, compensate, but you couldn't. There was, like, no air. It was like listening to Taylor Swift after she's been singing for 20 minutes. She has no air to project. And you're like, and I was like, I will be. And she was like, I can't understand what you're saying. And I was like, I will be right with you. And I said it loud, and she didn't even look at me. She was just kind of looking at you like, I don't want to deal with this today. She looked like she was kind of a bitch.
Well, I remember you kind of took over because there was nothing I could do.
Right.
I don't know semaphore, and I didn't bring my Aldous lamp, so I was kind of fucked.
What's an Aldous lamp?
Use it to, like,
oh, it's the flash things for Morse code? Right. Okay. I didn't know that's what it's called. Fun fact.
Yeah.
So I had walked around the room, and I walked around, and June is still, you're being a fucking champ. You're being like, I'm like, what do you need today? She's like, I can't understand him. And I almost went, fuck you, woman. I'm going to fuck you up for all his New Hampshire. That you are fucking wrong. Like, people from New Hampshire are assholes. This is why I moved away from the state, is because of you. So go back there and miss your fucking fall and how much you hate it, because you're just a new age fucking cunt. She's one of those, like, you know, when she goes home, she, like, takes off all of her clothes and puts a fucking a crystal between her fucking lips of her labia and listens to, like, David Arkenstone and, like, dreams of a fucking new world order. She was a bitch.
Yeah, she was.
And then she's like, I'm just trying to figure out if there's beef base in the soup. And I go, yes, there is beef base in the soup.
Tongue twister.
I'm fucking pissed. I'm pissed.
Now you have an impediment.
Oh, fucking, don't make fun of my speech impediment. Do not.
Patrick's kind of worked up. He had an interesting morning.
No, but it's we're not going to that. This bitch pisses me off. Like, this morning was like, shit, the things happen. Fine. I'm a parent. Fucking this woman was just a fucking cunt. She obviously does not know how to talk to, like, mentally or physically handicapped people, because you have to have some patience, which she didn't have from fucking start. Like, hey, I think she should work with Down syndrome kids, because she'd be like, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Like, she was a cunt, and I almost fucking dropkicked her.
She was,
but I felt bad for you, because at one point, like, when you heard June talk, it actually, you could kind of hear it. It sounded like pain.
Yeah, it did.
Not the sound that was coming out, but you could actually hear your throat muscles just be like, "Oh God, don't ever do that again."
The larynx,
yeah, or the larynx, whatever it is. It was like listening to, like, pussy tissue get, like, freaking ripped when, like, or, like, if you're
hit
getting
by a bowling ball.
If I'm in prison and I get ass raped, that's a sound that my little puckered up anus is going to make.
Well, yeah, thank you for stepping in and saving me.
Well, you just
that.
Sounded like shit, and so that's why I did the intro, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, and you did a super duper job.
I'm just trying to talk a lot.
We're trying
more.
To save my voice. There was one point of the show where I was gonna use a soundboard in case my voice went out, and I went and looked at a bunch of different soundboards, like, who would I want to do my voice? And I had Samuel Jackson, I had a couple other ones, but we couldn't find anything. We decided, fuck it, and it'd just be kind of annoying to have to do. And so
you didn't find one?
I found a David Lee Roth one, and I was going to use that, but I was just like, ah,
try it?
I'm going to champ out. I didn't put any on. Okay. So, fuck it.
That's why I was hearing the David Lee Roth takes.
Yeah, so I got laryngitis, and my voice sounds really stressed out, and it's, like I said, it doesn't hurt. It's kind of just a, I don't know, irritated.
Randy Jackson would say that your voice from today, from yesterday, is 10,001% better.
150 million times percent better.
Because you couldn't talk yesterday.
I looked at a Randy Jackson soundboard, too. I thought about it. Yeah, but I figured if anybody hears that man's voice again, that their IQ will drop significantly, and I just didn't want to do that to anybody.
Really, dog?
Bump it.
Bump it, dog.
Bump it, dog.
Bump it, dog. He's still on that show, right?
I don't know. I can't watch that thing. So,
Everyone heard it right there. They heard that little scratch in the ramble.
We're going to persevere through the show and get it out there. We didn't do a show, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I felt like, fuck, man.
I didn't think we were doing a show today because you were just like, I was like, are we doing a show? You said, I don't know.
I think that we need to put the show out because we've been delinquent last month, or we were delinquent last month.
We took a holiday. We're allowed to take a holiday. Right. You had 2 years of not taking a holiday.
Well, speaking of holidays, I don't know. I was trying to segue into this next thing I want to talk about, but it has nothing to do with laryngitis. I was talking to some friends of mine, and they said that I have a doppelganger in Portland. There's a guy that looks like me, and I guess he dresses like me, and he rides the same kind of bike that I ride.
Is this like a moped or a scooter or a bike?
A bicycle.
A bicycle, okay.
And I keep getting, you know, people texting me or people posting on my Facebook saying, oh, I thought I saw you the other day, but I didn't, and I saw this other guy. And they always use the word doppelganger, which I, you know, kudos for usage. But I thought to myself, well, what the fuck do I do if I come across my doppelganger?
Ooh, I don't want to think about that.
And I want to run a couple questions past you, Patrick, and see if my approach is appropriate.
All right, hold on a second.
Drink that, Paps.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Okay, my first reaction if I saw my doppelganger would be to destroy him.
I would punch him right in the fucking throat.
Whoa, 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 settle down.
Punch him right in the throat.
So you think destroying him, I'll get his power and I'll be double me?
No, you just don't have to be copied.
Well, I don't think he's copying me. Like,
He dresses like you. He looks like you.
Remember in The Doors, when the movie The Doors, mm-hmm. when Jim Morrison went to the party? God, what the fuck's the artist's name?
Andy Warhol's
party.
The
and he saw some dude dressed like him.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, actually. That's true.
I always think it's going to be that kind of moment, but... He's got good taste.
Yeah, he's got good taste. He looks like you.
The doppelganger has good tastes. But I don't know if I want to destroy him.
Can I ask you a question?
And I mean destroy him by pulling out a gun that's going to like a fake laser gun that's going to just
disintegrate him.
Disintegrate him, right.
Into cinders.
Right.
Do you think I was just thinking if you saw him and he looked like, and in your opinion, he looked nothing like you, but then you realized that all the people you know, that's how they envision you. And I would think that would kind of suck, and then you'd get pissed.
Like, he ends up looking like Pollyanna or something
like
that.
Yeah, or like Pippi Longstocking. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no. And they're like, no, look, he looks exactly like you. Wouldn't you be kind of like, oh my God? You'd have a self, like, you'd have a crisis because you're like, holy shit, this is how everyone sees me.
Like, he looks like Howdy Doody. And I'm like, holy shit, I thought it was better looking than that.
But no. Then you
everybody else, I have like big ears and red hair and freckles and shit.
Yeah, and you have to take that bow tie off.
I think I would have to destroy my friends then. Okay, Patrick, I got another question for you.
Okay.
Do I assume he's evil?
Put him in a coffin and bury the cards, man.
You want me to destroy this guy?
Or just bury him alive in a coffin, in a van, and then bury the van.
Should I ask him, do you have a podcast?
Do you play the guitar?
Do you play the guitar? Do you have a podcast?
Do you own your own house? Do you
singer-songwriter?
What was your question?
No, I was wondering if he's innately evil because he's the opposite of me.
Or what if he's really, really like, he's the type of guy who he's really kind.
Well, then
and then you'd be the evil one. He'd be like, hey, buddy, are you moving? Do you need to move? I got a truck. I can help you move. I got Saturday and Sunday all free. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to do that. Then maybe you're the evil one. I just wanted to do a little flip about for you. Just think about that.
No, it's true because I consider myself a nice person.
But you do have limits.
But I am also a condescending dick sometimes. To friends, you know, like, my humor is kind of evil.
Yeah, it is. And especially when you've been drinking a little bit, it is.
So I could be, what I think, God damn it, Patrick. I'm the evil one.
Maybe you are. I just wanted to point that out. I don't think you're evil, but what if I had, like, what happens if I see your doppelganger and him, and I'm talking to you guys, and everyone's laughing, and then I'm just kind of like, oh, I think I have to break up with June and move in with E-Nudge, because that was June backwards, I guess.
Well, now I'm trying to think if I am the evil...
I don't think you
are. The evil one of the two. I mean, I don't know if he does community work, because I don't do shit for community. And if he does any community service or anything like that, or has a garden, then I am the evil one.
He has a garden.
Well, that's
or makes his own honey or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
he makes his own honey. What the fuck is
like he has bees.
Like he's a wizard too.
No, he has bees and then you make the fucking honey.
The bees make the honey.
No, but you do like the fucking shit you buy in a store, it's in a little bear. They don't just pull that out. They put shit in it and make their own honey.
I understand.
And you can make like scented honey or like honey with cucumbers.
He's got a kiosk at the farmer's market.
He probably has roosters too, and you don't, and grows like organic tomatoes.
He has a chickens, then he has his own eggs, mm-hmm. but he has too many eggs, so he gives them to all his friends all the time.
And then he comes over to the house with the eggs and cooks them breakfast on Sundays.
You're the evil one. Yeah, I'm the one like, do you want to go hang out? Nope. Although I do stuff for my friends.
I know you do. I'm not saying that you are. I don't think you're the evil one. He could be a complete chode. He'd be like, hey, can we kind of look alike?
Yeah, we do. Totally look alike. So what's going on? Went to a Nickelback show.
I think the way that I could ascertain if he's evil or not is to get in a conversation with him and give him as many opportunities that I can for him to use the word bro or bump it. And once he uses one of the two or both, he's the evil one.
I have to say this, though, but before we did the show, I was hanging out with your roommates, who I love. Like, I love your, or people that have lived here in the past, who I love. And I heard bro 3 times, and I had to bump twice.
Did you?
Yeah, Bob bump. And there's kind of a humor in it, too, but Bob is downstairs, and Bob's like, dude. And I'm like, I don't like to bump. And he's like,
did Johnny Fucker bro you?
Johnny Fucker broed me and truckered me like 9 times. I'm still wiping off the trucker cum.
That's funny. Like, people move out of the house, but they still hang out here.
Right, they do. He probably does. He probably is somebody who's like, dude, I totally fucking love to, I have like 18 Lance Armstrong bracelets, one for each day. Like, he could be that guy.
I think I'm the evil one then, probably.
I've been told in my past that, you know, you always remind me of a friend I have back home, or you know a guy, and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, do I look like him? No, not really. It's how you talk. It's how, like, you guys would love each other if you hung out, because you're just exactly alike. And I'm like, if we're alike, the last thing you want to do is put him and me in a room together. Because the reason is if he's like me, we have a place.
Yeah, but when you get bored...
Yeah.
I get bored hanging out by myself.
No, but like if I'm around people, like if I'm at a party or at a bar and I'm around people.
Oh, you turn it on.
I have
for
a
sure.
No, but sometimes I don't, but I have a role. Like I am there, I listen, I add to the role. You can't have two people doing that. That's like having two people on the same team trying to shoot at the same time at billiards.
It's like having two people doing charades at the same time.
Right, you can't do it. That's exactly what it is. So I don't want to hang out with him. And B, if he's really like me, he'd be finishing all my jokes because he's that much of a fucking asshole, and I'd be trying to finish his because I'm that much of an asshole, and we're both like the evil ones. So I think at least you have a 50% chance that you're the good one.
Well, and the last thing that I was thinking is that do I just take him out for a beer? Because do you think that he's heard the same thing about me? I mean, I'm kind of a shut-in now.
Right.
But I go and socialize every once in a while, and I'm sure that, like, some of his friends may have heard, you know, heard of me riding my bike around, and they're like, oh, there's some dick that looks just like you that we see all the time. And they're probably having the same conversation we're having right now. So, yes, I got to kill him.
I guess so.
I'm sorry, not kill him, destroy him.
Destroy him, just vaporize him. I do this thing. I've gotten fucked with. I don't like doppelgangers. I don't like people, because then you're just like, like, what do you do? Someone looks just like you, or you say, oh, I know this, and you remind me too much of my really good friend, and I'm going to put her awesome attributes onto you, and then 5 minutes later, you find out that she is a complete and total bitch, and then, but you still kind of want to like her because she's awesome,
so,
or your old friend is awesome?
So you could get mad, or somebody could get mad at your doppelganger and take it out on you.
Yes, exactly. Because I had a really good friend and she was awesome and sweet. And then I moved away from her and I met someone. I was like, you remind me exactly like her. And this woman was a cunt. And I'm like, I want to punch you in the face.
I've had that with people that have the same name. For instance, if there's a man with the same name or a woman with the same name, sometimes one of them will piss me off. And I kind of have some sort of resentment for the other one.
So if there's another Jenny that you meant, and not Jenny Kaylor Thomas, not JKT, 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 giving her a rap name, JKT, JKT, not JKT.
We have to call her and tell her that.
Not JKT, but you meet another Jenny, and fucking bitch Jenny right. Like number bitch, fucking pisses you off. On when you meet JKT, you're gonna be fucking really pissed off at her and take it out.
It
on her.
It might take me a minute to kind of get my cards all aligned up.
Right,
but yeah, I
kind of that's kind of weird. I used to do this thing in the supermarket when I'd be walking around with the boys and I'd see somebody that I knew and I'd be like, oh, they're down the aisle. They're like, oh, and they're with somebody. And I'd like go to the boys and I've done this twice.
Just a random person?
No, somebody I know like pretty well or knows the boys. Okay. And I'd be like, hey, boys, see that person? That's a friend of mine. I want you to walk up and just start like just do something funny. Just do it. And I'm like, okay. And they walk up and I'm sitting down the aisle. And then when they get up, the person was in profile, but now they've turned like 75%. And I go, oh shit, that's not the person I thought it was. And then I run up and the people are just looking at my children like, who the fuck are you? And I'm like, I'm very, very sorry. And I always do the dick move. I always do the total dick move where I blame it on them and not me. I go, I'm totally sorry. They thought you were someone else. And I've done it twice because once I thought it was my friend Cassie. And I was like, oh, that's Cassie. Guys, run up there and just be like, and just act crazy. And they're like, yeah. And they did. And when the woman turned, like I saw her from, I had like a quarter to a half of a profile. And then she turned and I'm like, oh no. And I'm running down the fucking freezer aisle, like past the fucking pizzas. And I go, no. And the woman's looking at them like, I think I might need to like call security. Obviously something's wrong with this child.
Midget retard.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry. They thought you were someone else. And when I'm walking around, Riley goes, we didn't think she was someone else. You told us she was somebody else.
They threw you under the bus.
I was like, I can't have her hear that because not only did I fuck you over, but I don't want her to know.
So you threw them under the bus and yes. Then they just went right around.
Right.
You under the bus.
I was like, shh. By then we had gotten to ice cream, so I don't think she had heard. We were walking back. But I've done that. And then that's a reason I don't like doppelgangers because if I look at someone and I'm not really paying attention, I'll just assume my head just goes, oh, that's that person. And I'll walk up. And I've done that to people. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And then they go, excuse me? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I thought you were someone else. Even though I know what people look like. I want to see this doppelganger of you because that's when I'm going to walk up behind him and like grab his ass. Because I can do that to you. I can walk up and be like, I'm going to fuck you until you bleed. Like I can say shit like that to you. And then they're going to turn around and go, oh, coming from my MMA workout. And then just kick my ass.
Like one of those tender moments that we share.
Whoa, show up.
All right, so anyway, if I find him, I don't know. I think it just might be like one of those moments, you know, like when you wave something at a dog and it doesn't know what it is, it kind of does that head tilt and yep. Looks stupid. I think that's what's going to happen.
That's probably what's going to happen.
All right, doppelganger beware. We are going to jump into a fake break. When we come back, we got some douchebags for you. And we had another thing we're going to talk about, too. Oh, that's right. Deathbowl.
Oh, Deathbowl. I actually sparked the board. You're on the board. Jenny is big time on the board.
Yeah, it's your first time on
the board. This is my first time on the board. I feel like I'm a flowering blossom.
All right. Well, we come back. We got all that for you. Until then, stick around for an audio tidbit. My voice hurts.
I know.
We'll be right back.
It's been almost 200 years since Paul Revere rode this way to rouse the countryside. But some things haven't changed much. The streets. A very special ship. Make it seem almost like yesterday. An the Budweiser Clydesdales travel, like other symbols out of our past, they too renew and reaffirm a similar concern and regard for traditions worth preserving. Traditions, like the way Budweiser is brewed in New England and all across America. Brewing beer right does make a difference. It always has. It always will. When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Interesting fake break. We ended up hanging out on the front porch at the zoo, and there's a bunch of the public cutters up there working on bikes, and we kind of hung out, talked, and chatted. Patrick brought something up that I didn't know, and it's about the death polls. Patrick, what the fuck happened?
Gore Vidal died at the end of July, and he was on my death poll.
Okay. Who the fuck is Gore Vidal?
He is an author.
Of?
I don't know. He's an author, man.
Did you just pick some random author?
No, I mean, he's an author. He's been in, he's done some performances in movies. He's Gore Vidal. He's a very, like, I've seen him on talk shows and stuff. I've never read anything about him. He's very big into, like, loving and young women and, like, having that, you know, being old but loving people. And now I just sound like an idiot because I actually have no idea that he's an author. I've never read anything by him. He's been an actor. And he's old, so I just picked him and put him on the list because I was like, he has to die soon.
So did you just pick him randomly?
I knew who he was. The reason was because I just watched Gattaca, and he's in Gattaca, and I'm like, that guy has to die soon because this movie came out like 12 years ago.
Well, I know that when we were choosing death polls, we all kind of picked like a young person for the big points.
Right.
And we also all picked an author that we liked.
I guess, yeah. Did we? Yeah, because I guess I did. So,
but I have no idea who.
If you saw him, you'd see a movie that he's been in, maybe Gore Vidal. But he died. I have no idea who he is. I've never read him. I've seen interviews with him. He's a very witty, very clever man. I'll leave it at that.
Well, safe home.
Sound like an idiot.
Safe home, Gore Vidal.
So he was 86. So I get 14 points.
That's right. Well, Jenny has 54.
Jesus Christ!
You have 14. I have 21.
Oh, you're coming in.
But you're
on
the board.
I'm on the board. At least I got on the board. And we only have
what, like 4 months?
3 months. Yeah. Well, we got 4 months. We get through September. We only have 4 months left.
It's getting close.
It is.
God, who do you think's gonna die next? I mean, this is kind of a horrible thing.
It is. I think Gene Wilder's dying next, but I don't want him to because two of us have Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, you think?
Who is my young person?
I'm thinking Larry Flint. No, not as a young person, but as kind of one
just
of the persons on the her death pool. But Gene Wilder's old.
Oh, I don't want Gene Wilder to die.
I don't either. For some, he kind of reminds me of a friend of mine. I think they had the same hair and the same posture.
Are you talking about me when my hair is
no,
weird?
No. My buddy, Dr. Michael Rarick.
You know a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a doctor of medicine?
He's got a doctor in poetry.
So he's not really a doctor.
Yeah, so in the if there's somebody that needs a tracheotomy on the plane, you're not going to call Dr. Michael Rarick.
No, but if somebody wants
if you want to kill him by, like, Sharon Olds.
If you need to have a discussion in a bar about Robert Frost, he's your guy.
He's your boy.
Okay.
Right. You could still, like, save or kill somebody via poetry.
Yeah, you can kill him with some Robert Service. Or Emily Dickinson is a boring fucking poet.
So, like, we're not going to go into that.
No, I don't want to go into. You don't like poetry, do you?
I love poetry. I actually, I was a literature major for a little while.
That's not poetry. Literature is literature.
Well, I was had a poetry major. Sharon Olds.
What?
Yeah, Sharon Olds was my favorite. And Sexton and Sharon Olds.
You were a poetry
I was like the chicks for some reason.
You
I was
studied
a medieval literature major for a little bit, but with a minor in poetry.
Are you fucking shitting me?
No. That's why I can...
What do you love about poetry?
I like I don't know. Actually, that's a fucked up question. I don't know.
Because I don't mind poetry. I like things that rhyme. They're nice. I like visions that you can paint in people's heads, but you don't have to tell something. The reason I have with poetry is because when you meet someone who is a poet, they're immediately, they're not a poet. They don't like rhyming. They like to get up on stage with a microphone and do that open mic fucking poetry shit where they're, all they're talking about is how they're a woman, how they're fucking a, like a fucking lonely man or whatever race they have. Like, you know, whatever race they are.
I think I was attracted to tragedy at a young age when I was in the community college. I wasn't in a university.
No, but still,
it was basically hot.
Have you ever been to a community college poetry class? Obviously, yes. That's the most horrible shit you're ever gonna get into.
Well,
tits are fun. Want to touch your bun? Ride my car. We will get far.
I have a funny story about the. My poetry class, and we had to go in and talk to the professor. Is it considered a professor if they're teaching at a community college?
Instructor?
Instructor.
It depends on what they have as their background.
Credentials, whatever. Anyway, so I go in there for a midterm, and I was talking to my poetry teacher, and of course I'm thinking I'm going to fuck her. Because it's going to be an awesome poem at one point or another. And she was way older than me.
Wait, stop. You're going to write an awesome poem that's going to make her fuck you, or you're going to fuck her and get an awesome poem out of it?
A little bit out of column A, a little out of column B. I'm a kid, you know? The world's my oyster.
But either way, your dick is going to be inside your poetry instructor at some point.
Meanwhile, she's fucking some dude that's buying Chardonnay.
But you're part.
No.
Right now, you should call this chick up, Facebook her.
No, maybe my dreams could come true, Patrick. I don't know. But I went in for a midterm. We had a little sit down, and at the time, my friend's dad had a bunch of patchouli, and he hit me with the patchouli. Ooh, wait a minute! No, he gave me the patchouli. He gave me a little vial with patchouli oil.
And said,
and I adorned myself. I was augmenting my personality with patchouli oil.
To talk to your professor.
I was like 20.
It's fine, but you're going in to talk to her and you swab the shit off.
And I hit the patchouli before I went, you know, into school and then went in for the thing and the teacher... My teacher goes... I sit down and she's kind of critiquing some of my poems. And she goes, are you wearing patchouli? And I went, very proudly, well, yes, I am. Thank you for noticing. And she goes, she takes a comical pause and she goes, don't ever do that again.
How dare her? Because you know that poetry pussy smells like lemongrass, like really hardcore, like rank lemongrass.
But I was thinking that, like, the ultimate cock block in my fantasy teacher fucking realm
was
destroyed by, like, patchouli.
I knew this at 17. Why did you not get the memo?
I was reading a lot of Carlos Castaneda at the time, taking a lot of acid.
I'm thinking you also have a necklace. You have at least one puka shell necklace, too.
No puka shells.
You didn't wear vests and nothing underneath of them, did you?
No, not at all. I was a skater.
So you did not get to have sex with your...
No, I didn't. But I thought that when she'd read my poetry, she would be so deep for her that she would be just like, oh my God, we're kindred souls. This guy is, oh my God, he's so aged beyond his years. He's such an old soul. And then she hit me with the patchouli. Don't ever do that again. But anyway, yeah, I never, nothing ever happened.
God. Oh my goodness. She was attractive then.
She was passionate. And yes, she was
attractive. That was what it is.
She was attractive.
Okay, but.
She was attractive.
She had the joie de vivre.
And I thought that maybe my girlfriend at the time would be like, eh,
Oh, threesome action?
No, no, not threesome. She'd be like, oh, you guys are so passionate about poetry. You just fucked. You're making poetry.
What was, do you remember what the poem was about? Was it about your poetry instructor?
No, the poem was about, I lived in this really, really, really shitty, apartment complex, and there was
across the hall from Jenny?
No, it was across the street from my father's place in Portland. It was a halfway house.
Yeah, I lived in a halfway house. I've driven by it.
And there was a really abusive relationship that lived upstairs, and
it was your own version of Susanna Vega's Luca.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. You are completely right. And so I'm listening to this abusive relationship downstairs, and the poem was entitled "The Devils Crowd My Room."
I just pissed myself a little bit.
And, I was like dosing my, you know, my instructor, the little Laurel. Here's what real life's like.
Oh, man. My God.
Maybe you haven't experienced before. I'm aged beyond my years.
So you thought because you couldn't...
No, I just thought it would seduce my fucking poetry teacher. Isn't that what everybody does?
I've never had a poetry teacher.
I thought it was a good idea.
That is a good idea. The devil.
And it was basically a poem about a husband beating his wife.
That gets him in the mood every time.
And, Oh. Yeah, the devil's crowd my room. She's like, I like the metaphor, you know, like the, you know, there's beasts in there that take control.
Do you have this poem somewhere in this house? Like somewhere?
No, I think that
you burned it along with the bottle of
no, I think
relief?
Because it's so bad that it just burned itself. Spontaneous combustion happened. Oh. It should happen on when you're putting shitty words on a page. It should just automatically just like go up in flames.
Don't say that. Everything I ever own would be burned. I just love the fact that you were just like, so you even had like a patchouli mentor who was like, here you go, kid. Fucking Godspeed.
But when she said that, it was crushed. I was like, and so like 2 weeks later, I got my dick pierced and got a tattoo or something like that.
And then start wearing Nag Champa.
No, I'm not joking.
I didn't know this, man. I did not know
this.
There's
many, many, many things. Wow. Yeah, that, yeah.
You are
many things about my life.
All right. Wow. I need to kind of go down.
You need to decompress.
I need to take a break because I need to. There's a little reservoir of like urine on my fucking front left quadricep that I need to wipe away because it's uncomfortable.
All right, we'll get a rag. All right, so you decompressed.
I am decompressed.
Wait one sec. I gotta turn this fan off. Talk while I turn it on.
So it was interesting. I really don't like retarded people, and I know that's a horrible thing to say. You told me to talk. I just wanted to come up with something that could be controversial.
I'm giving you that power.
Okay, well, then don't do it again.
Well, fuck it. Let's do our douchebags of the week for episode 153 of the Hideous Creature Show.
I'm gonna fly her brains out.
I was going fishing.
It sounds like what you were fishing for was sex with a 12-year-old girl.
Paging Dr. Douchebag.
Orono police are looking for two unidentified women who stole beer from the back storage cooler of the Thriftway store on Park Street Sunday night. Like I always say that, like we're both from Orono. The two.
Where's Orono?
It's in Maine. Yeah. It's a college. It's actually a big college town. It's U of Maine. The two women who are shown clearly on the store security camera footage asked to use the employee's restroom out back shortly after 10 p.m. Sunday night. While back there, one or both of them broke into a case of beer and removed three cans. The images show two women, one with dark hair and wearing what appears to be a black shirt with the words "Diamonds" on it. And the other woman was a blonde.
That's classy.
Has blonde hair and was wearing a gray Cleveland Browns football team sweatshirt. The Orono police are asking anyone if they know the identity of one or two of these women. Please call Officer Stephen Marco or Detective Derek Dinsmore at 866-4000. Maine, I believe, is 206 area code, if anyone knows these people. Anyone preferring to make an anonymous tip can do so through Orono's public safety website during the Crime Stop link.
Crime.
What did I say?
Crime. A crime being taken. Like, there's two college girls that stole beer.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you just, like, let it go?
You probably
You kind of lost that one.
I'm sure that there's problems with people smoking, like, weed, like, on Main Street, or probably date rape would be another thing I would spend a little bit more time with.
I just can't believe that these people are looking for, like, these two girls that stole three beers.
One of them's, like, walking out and has a smile on her face. There's a picture.
Yeah, she's proud.
She's happy. I mean, like...
Have you ever stole beer out of a convenience store or a store?
Thriftway is a supermarket, excuse me.
Sorry, a supermarket.
You've never been to Maine, have you?
No, we got Safeways here.
Thriftway, they're different.
Thriftway, whatever the fuck it is. They have the same logo. It's the same bullshit.
Yeah, it just has a T. Have I ever stole beer out of a store? No. I've stolen beer out of restaurants before. Like, I've gone into restaurants with people that worked at that restaurant after hours and drank the beer, which isn't really stealing because I'm with someone who works there, but it kind of is stealing because the owner didn't know about it. I've done that, but I've never stolen beer from a store. I've never actually stolen anything. I haven't stolen anything since I was 17 years old, but I didn't even think that was stealing. It was more of like compensation for...
Did they say that these girls are 21?
They look 21. I mean, I have a picture. They look 21. They look like college students.
Right. I've actually, I don't even know if I've stolen. I just hate the idea of getting caught. And I'm afraid of getting caught, so I'd never steal. But I've been with friends and blocked so they could steal.
Okay.
Which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it's called the betting.
The betting?
A betting. You're a betting criminal.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's called. But do you ever steal? I knew people who used to steal from bars. They'd wait until the bartender had to like walk away, and they'd run behind the bar and open a cooler and grab two bottles of Bud and run out. Did you ever do that?
No, never in a bar, because bar is like where I go to hang out. I don't want any bullshit going on there. But I remember when I was a kid, a friend of mine worked at a Thriftway, and what he'd do is he'd throw a case of beer away, and like when he was doing trash and stuff, he'd put the case of beer in with the trash and then throw it away, and then after the store was closed, we'd go in the dumpster and grab the beer.
I knew a very wonderful man, and he was, and I mean that sincerely, Trent Riley, who is no longer with us. Godspeed, Trent. He worked at a liquor store, and he would do that with bottles of booze. He also had this really ingenious thing.
Wait, he worked there?
He worked at the liquor store.
Isn't just having the... You have to get booze super cheap working at a liquor store.
But
why would you have to steal?
If you saw Trent Riley, Trent was a big guy. I once watched Trent Riley...
So big that he couldn't pay for beer?
I watched him open up a fifth of vodka, chug three quarters of it, and then he just looked at me like completely sober faced and going, oh, it's going to take a more. He was so big, like alcohol did not affect him. He's one of those people that like, he's not Kim Basinger in Blind Date where alcohol, one drop and she's fucked up. He's the exact opposite of that. He's the arch villain of Kim Basinger from Blind Date.
Damn.
It did not fuck him up. He also had this ingenious thing where they sold scratch tickets, and he would scratch like one little corner which you couldn't even see, and from that you could tell if it was a winner. So he would like take the roll and scratch him.
Did he ever get caught for any of this shit?
Yeah, it's actually called theft by deception.
Right.
And he just lost his job. And then like a year later he died. He had like a massive heart attack, and he was an awesome really guy. He hated his fucking job. He didn't get paid enough, and he was just like, fuck this shit.
I remember hearing this story about Andre the Giant drinking a lot, because he was an enormous guy. So he would drink a couple handles of vodka or whatever the fuck he was drinking. But he was drinking a lot. But I don't know, does liver get bigger when you're larger?
Like, can you process more alcohol if you have a bigger liver? I would say maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe a titch, but not that much. Like, maybe a little bit more. But it's still, I mean, big people can have small hearts or small livers. They can. I don't know. Maybe that's why he had he was also just huge, and that's really fucked up.
But didn't he? I think he died of alcoholism. Like, his liver just shot out.
He probably did. I mean, maybe his liver couldn't process the fucking girth of his body. I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor.
Just him being so sad he's not wrestling. It's like, I couldn't be. My voice is getting better.
Yeah, kind of.
It sounds to me very, very good.
I don't hear the...
And I think I have the Seabiscuits of podcasting voices.
What does that mean?
I'm a champ, baby.
I like listening to your voice better than mine, so mm-hmm. I will do that.
Next one?
Sure.
Wait. Go back.
Oh, go back.
I want to go back real quick.
Yeah, because I think are these two teenage girls fucking douchebags for stealing three cans? Like, why didn't they steal more? Why didn't they just, because they have to get out of the store and they can't have a case of beer. So they're slipping
in the
Cleveland Brown fucking sweatshirts in the back pockets with a diamond T over it. And so they're only like, we only need three. At least they're being like, we only need three. One for each of us and one to share on the walk home. Because you know they were just walking home and they just wanted three more beers.
Right, exactly.
I don't really think they're being bitches. Fine, you steal three beers. Fuck it.
I think they're kind of awesome.
You think they're kind of like badasses?
I think they're badasses because they didn't get caught. And the fact that this came out in the local paper, they're going to get caught for stealing three beers. As a superstore, Thriftway is a huge store.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they just kind of go, eh? You beat us. You won.
Fuck off.
You stole three beers. We can walk away from this. But they didn't.
No, they went to the
local news station and they called the local cops to put an APB out on these two girls that just stole three beers. Come on.
So the douchebag is the fucker who's going to turn these two girls in.
I think so.
Okay.
And they're going to get caught, which was fucked up.
They're going to get slapped and probably like academic probation because the police got involved.
Just give it up.
Yeah.
You know, Thriftway, you lost this one. Beef it up a little bit, maybe. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I agree with you.
But
maybe
got three beers.
I kind of want to go steal something right now.
I'm going to steal something.
I want to go steal a beer. I don't steal, but I kind of want to do it.
I'm going to steal three beers.
This is a story about a gentleman named Jason Selch. In 2005, Selch had a meeting with his bosses at Bank of America. He ended up, at one point in this meeting, pulling down his pants and mooning his bosses at Bank of America.
Okay, wait. Before you go on,
mm-hmm.
These aren't douchebags. These are badasses.
I don't know. I've perused this story. I don't,
because I've already heard this the first part of this, and I already think this guy's a badass.
Let me just continue then. We can have the listeners decide. Of course, what happened after he mooned his bosses at Bank of America at a meeting?
They cheered him and they gave him a ticket day parade.
That's exactly what happened. They just called it firing him.
Their vernacular is all kinds of shite.
But because Jason Selch is such a self-confident man, he felt that he shouldn't have been fired. He took Bank of America to court and said, you should not have been able to fire me for mooning. He had been a Chicago-based employee at a company for more than a decade when it merged with another company that was a subsidiary of Bank of America. Some of the employees weren't happy with the way the new bosses planned to pay him. Selch was one of them. Bank of America had a bad reputation for trying to squeeze compensation packages. So Selch's friend Chris O'Day was fired after he refused to accept a lower compensation package. This ticked Selch off. Selch burst into a conference room where executives from with one company were meeting to give them a piece of his mind. He wound up giving them a piece of his ass.
Is that copied?
The copy was he wound up giving them a piece of something else as well, and I threw an ass. First, Selch asked if he had a non-compete agreement, which on Wall Street is usually a way of threatening to quit and go work for a competitor. After executives said that he didn't have a non-compete agreement, Selch mooned them, told one of the New York-based executives never to return to Chicago, and left the meeting. But he wasn't fired. Instead, he was issued a formal warning. His boss testified that while
he got a red flag
slap on the wrist. He testified that while 99% of the employees would have been immediately fired, Selch was one of the 1% who could be granted a one free mooning reprieve. The executive actually fought for Selch to keep his job. when a CEO found out about this incident, he insisted that Selch be fired. The behavior was too egregious to allow Selch to continue at this company. No free mooning at Bank of America. Even if you are the 1%, that is copy. He lost a multi-million contingent bonus package that would have vested, that he would have had if he remained at the company a few months more. So if he had not mooned them and stayed there, he would have had a multi-million bonus package.
But he's got his character, Patrick. You can't put a price
because he was
that.
Fired, Bank of America kept the money. He sued, arguing that the firing him after he got issued a warning, and then they fired him was a breach of contract because they said, we're not going to fire you. But
oh,
now
they
we're
gave
firing
him like, okay. They gave him a, okay, you're a cool buddy.
The warning had said that he could be fired if he misbehaved in the future, yet after that one mooning, he was behaved, but then they decided to fire him afterwards.
Do you think the bureaucrats have, like, put an annulment in the in some sort of contract saying that, like, mooning is, like, you can't do that?
You can't do that.
Like, it used to be, like, a fuck you, dick. I'm out of here. Okay, if you do that, you're out of here. But the mooning, I kind of like the mooning. I think he's a badass.
I think he's a really big badass. He's like,
and he lost millions of dollars over it. Did they say that if he won that court case?
One more thing, Selch argues that because the mooning didn't interfere with his official duties, he could not be fired for cause, which is really rad. The trial court granted summary judgment to the defendants in the suit. Last Wednesday, a three-judge panel's appeal upheld the trial court, describing the mooning as insubordinate, disruptive, unruly, and abusive. So I don't think that Mr. Selch won his thing. And this is why we have a justice system. It's called appeals. Appeal this, Mr. Selch.
Appeal this,
Mr. Selch. Oh, God, that's really rad.
I bet all of his peers are just like,
I bet. Go, buddy. Think about the day after they fired him. Think about the 2 weeks that happened where everyone just tried to use the word moon into their natural sentence. Did you see the full moon last night? Like, to the bosses that fired him.
My favorite comedian is Mooney.
Man, I was listening to The Who last night, and Keith Moon's a badass drummer.
Yeah, it was very, very moonish in here.
I think we're going to start reaching.
I was totally reaching.
I think we're done now.
I just picture him like with this box of his shit out of his office.
Yeah.
And he's walking down and there's one of these.
You go, baby.
Yeah. And everybody's like, yay. And he has to go move out of his
and
super
the CEO
apartment.
Is the CEO is right in front of his glass little door and he just is scowling and then he just turns and goes in and slams it.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty badass.
I think that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty fucking badass.
I hope to God that he gets his just desserts as far as like getting compensation. I mean,
and he did it because of a friend. His friend was laid off, and that's he's like, fuck you.
And you know what? I bet that there's some other CEO in another company that looks at his integrity and just goes, fuck yeah, I want you working for me.
I want you working for me.
And if he doesn't, you can come work at the Hideous Creature Show.
Right, you can. And moon us all you want.
Yeah, bring the moon. Blue moon.
I think that what I'm finding right now is that one man's douchebag is another man's badass. Because we could look at it and say, who is the douchebag? The CEO is. But we don't want to talk about that guy. We want to praise Mr. Jason Selch.
Jason Selch.
Jason Selch.
Hats off.
Hats off. Godspeed. We got one more. 13-year-old Elizabeth Annette Robinson stole her mother's ATM card, snuck out of her bedroom window, and hopped into her brother's 2011 Visa Nissan Versa and drove from Cypress, Texas to Nashville, Tennessee to meet the object of her affection, a young 12-year-old named Dylan. Elizabeth's mother, Teresa Robinson, started noticing some changes in her daughter a little while before she made a break from the house. Quote, she started staying in her bedroom more, isolating herself when she was always with the headset, always talking, Robinson told a TV station. That's how they communicated through the Xbox.
Gamer.
When Elizabeth's dad took away the Xbox earlier that week, she decided to make her break and run away to Hodgenville, Kentucky, to meet Dylan in the flesh. Although Dylan tried to talk her out of the road trip, Elizabeth went through with it anyway.
one time, can I, did Dylan kind of, because I assume that these relationships have to do with, like, you know, talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they progress into, like, maybe a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Dylan had hours and hours of talking to this lady. And then eventually...
It's a girl, dude. She's a girl. She's a teacher. She's a 13.
Girl. And eventually got the Facebook page and realized, ay, ay, ay. Oh, boy.
Oh, they were talking.
Maybe,
and
maybe I'm not into it. Oh. But we're living in the virtual reality, so fuck it. I'm going to play it up.
She could be like her elf or her fucking commander,
right,
whatever she looks
right,
like.
That's, exactly.
She's like, yeah, wow, she's fucking
smoking and
hot.
Maybe he was like, you know what? Don't come and save me.
Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I
hope I'm not fucking up the story.
I would like to think that Dylan is a 12-year-old young man of sterner stuff, and maybe he shared some memories. Like, maybe they had some moments on that
kindled
Xbox.
Kindled spirits. That.
Elizabeth was about 50 miles away from her destination of Nashville when local police finally apprehended her. Police were impressed that she was able to drive so long without getting caught, despite she only being 13 years old. It was amazing the way she was able to manipulate the roadways, one of the policemen said. Elizabeth,
she's a natural.
Elizabeth was taken into custody until her parents arrived. Once they retrieved her from the authorities, they decided to arrange a meeting with Dylan so their daughter could put the thing to rest.
Fuck, that is good parenting.
That's kind of really good parenting, but maybe if they hadn't taken the ex, maybe she just went obsessive, but that's at least nice.
No, no.
Because you know they were shitting themselves.
No, sometimes you got to take the Xbox away, but who would think that she would just take a car
steal
and
her
drive
brother's car
all the way down there? That, you know what, Patrick? I don't think in her life she's ever going to have that kind of passion again.
No, because she's going to wait for mom and dad to fucking try to shut it down.
No, 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 that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about, like, the way, how passionate she was for Dylan.
Yeah.
Remember when you were young and you had that kind of super passion about things? Like,
so
poetry and your teacher.
And playing a guitar with a delay pedal. Smoking
oil.
Weed, right.
Right, right. But she did it.
She did. And she got 50 miles away out of 800 miles.
Crazy close.
She got 750 fucking miles.
Right. This is, we're talking astronaut quality in this person. NASA is going to call her because she's gone so far. But she had that passion.
Yeah.
And I mean, once you get older, am I right or am I wrong?
It fades away.
You kind of lose that kind of thing.
You just go, I'm not going to do that because that's just not going to ever work out.
And she did it.
And then she got to meet him at the end anyway.
I think it's good.
I think it's rad.
I told a friend of mine once, Jason, he called me. This was before cell phones. This was back in the 80s. And he told me that he loved this girl. And I don't know what was going on. She was moving, he was moving or whatever. And she lived probably, like 30 miles away. And we're talking on the phone, and, you know, we're all so passionate. We're poets. And I went, I told him, and I, you know, I'm older than he was at the time. And I go, just go to her. Just
romantic.
Go to her and express your passion for her. And he fucking did it. He walked 30 miles.
Wait, he walked 30 miles?
Yeah. He walked 30 miles to this girl's house, knocked on the door, and he's exhausted and wet because it's raining in Tennessee. And she's like, hey. And he's like, hi. And, you know, nothing happened. But the gesture there, I don't know if she got it, but
probably
the
not.
Gesture there is so beautiful. It's so pure and, like, awesome.
You love the spirit of Elizabeth Robinson, don't you?
I think I do. Yes. Sorry, it went off on a tangent.
No, but I got it. I'm with you.
But that stuff happens when you're young and like, fucking enjoy it. Like, fucking embrace it and go for it. Am I being weird?
No, I don't think you're being weird. I think there's a little heart of a poet in you still.
Oh, there is. The bitch that comes on me next, it's in for all kinds of crazy.
Are you going
to... See, that's poetry.
Yeah, that is. I guess you're going to start describing the color green.
No, I'm going to go. The next woman I date is in for all kinds of nuts. Mm. I'm going to walk 30 miles.
I would walk 30 miles.
All right.
Anyway, so those... So we got
Sorry
those
about
people.
That. Okay.
We got the guy who...
We'll edit that out.
We got that out. Yeah, we will. We got the guy who mooned his bosses because of his stupid shit. He's a badass. We got the girls who are just like, fuck this. We're taking 3 cans of beer. We're taking what we need. It's kind of like this weird socialism. We're just taking what
three
we
beers.
Need.
3 beers.
They're kind of badass.
Yeah, we're not hurting anybody.
Not hurting anyone. Not hurting
one for
thrift,
you,
right?
One for me,
one
and then
share.
One for share.
Time. Or maybe one for one of their like little brother or something. Maybe he was up from Tennessee.
You're like, hey, you know what? How was your beer? It was good. Check out this third beer.
Mm, yeah.
Super good.
And then we got Elizabeth Robinson who drove fucking over 700 miles to meet the love of her life, which
badass.
Is really rad.
I think all these are badasses.
Yeah.
So, all right. So those are your douchebags of the week for episode...
But they're not douchebags. Those are your badasses.
Those are your badasses of the week for episode 153 of The Hideous Creature Show.
Could taste two sweet kisses.
Deep track, deep cut.
I don't know. Celine Dion did it for a Chrysler commercial. I am sucking.
Anyway, so we're coming to the end of another Hideous Creature Show. You can contact us via our website, hideouscreatureshow.squarespace.com, or at our email, which is hideouscreatureshow@gmail.com. You can Facebook us. What is it? The Hideous Creature Show podcast?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Patrick, you got calls and stuff, but we haven't been able to.
I gotta find that out after. I'm moving things around. I have piles of shit in my house from moving things around after my roommate moved out, and it's been weird. I'll find them. They're great.
My voice sounds good.
It sounds better. You've gotten better.
Sexy?
Yeah, maybe it was. Just,
I told you, cigarettes.
Maybe just atrophy.
Chardonnay will do it.
It just didn't work.
All right, you can give us a call anytime, day, night, drunk, sober, happy or sad, at Patrick's cell phone, which is 971-212-6642. Give him a call. All right. You can listen to the show via our website, Podbean Podcast, AliZuna, and iTunes. If you use iTunes, please give us a little 5-star rating, a little review. It'll help us go up in the ranks and make us more super popular. Super popular. That's what I chose. That's pretty stupid. Yeah. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so. Just tell a friend.
Or just send checks on PayPal to our website.
Hey, buddy. Do you want to listen to the Hideous Creature Show?
Wow.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
That's terrible. All right. Special thanks this week goes out to one Michael Kelly. I think that's it. Do you have anything, Patrick?
Lots of things to thank, but I really... can't do it right now.
All right. Well, the intro of the show was Get Out of Here's. Do you not like those?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, I don't know what the outro is going to be, so.
We'll just say the Archies and they'll be something completely different. All
right. Well, we're going to do another show in about 7 days. Until then, everyone, please have a wonderful, wonderful week. We love you.
Maybe something, maybe nothing.
some of the weird.
Well, you know why the these and the thous were all put in that.
Those didn't bother me.
Well, no. Excuse me. Well, why those were actually put in there in the Shakespearean text is because there would be people there that would scribe down all the plays when they were happening, and the these, thous, and the, and all that bullshit was a stall tactic, so they couldn't write fast enough in order to get the gist of the play. Because when Christopher Merlot or Shakespeare were writing stuff, they would there were people that were copying it down so they could go to the next town and have the play that was the same. But the, thou, and all that shit was garbage that whoever was scribing it down had to write. And they would fuck up the storyline.